Okay. We are going to launch Perek Zayin of Shaarei Yichud V'Emunah. And this is where it begins to get complicated. So by comparison, what we've done until now has been simple. However, there are many practical applications, primarily the application of the concept of Shechina B'tachtayim. The fact that Hashem's goal in creation, for us that is for us to create a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His world here below. There's a spot over here, there's a spot over here. Make yourselves, you guys, if you slide over, drop the together. Here we go.
Q&A mode is on. Participants may now unmute themselves.
Where is my...
Presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard.
Okay, you have, which one do you have there? I'm missing my tag here. That's mine.
This one, right?
Here, give me this one. And Bob, take this one. Here. Okay. I have the creases in the right place. Okay. You ready? Here we go. It's going to take us several weeks to do this. First of all, because it's very long. And... usually the long chapters, authors take the complicated chapters and make them short. Not so much. Perek Zayin. It's on page 162. Ubezeh yuvan mashiksib b'zayar kodesh. With this introduction, the concept that we've been talking about, Tzimtzum, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds back His presence from the vantage point of His creations, but that not from Hashem's vantage point, okay? This is going to lead us to understand what the Zohar writes. The Pasuk Shema Yisrael Hu Yichuda Yiloh, that the first Pasuk of Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is a higher form of Yichud, of unity. And again, he's going to define these terms. Ubaruch Shem Kavod Malchus Eliyon Avod, and the Pasuk that we add, right? The Pasuk that we whisper is Yichuda Tato. That is a lower form of unity. What does the Zohar write? The Zohar writes, Ki va'ed, the last word, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam, va'ed, that word va'ed, hu echad, that is really the word echad. How's that? B'chilufei asvin, by using one of the methods, remember we talked about that there's Reish Lamed Aleph, the 231 ways of reading the alphabet. And throughout Shas, there's a bunch of them that are mentioned, like Atbash, Gematria, and so on. So one of them is Chilufei Asvin, that there are letters, Rashi quotes it several times, that are Oisius, that are Mischalef Zubuzu. There are letters that are switched out with one another. So the Ayin of, how does it go here? One of them is because the ayin and the ches, if you pronounce them correctly, both come from the throat. They're both throat letters. The dalid is the constant, right? They're both echad and va'ed, both have dalids. And the vav and the aleph are nischalef. Why? I don't remember. Yeah.
An Aleph is made out of a Vav and two Yud.
I don't remember why. Okay, but that's what the Zohar says. So, what's the point, though? What does it mean to us? Kine. Sibas v'tama tzimtzum v'hastra zeh. The reason and the cause of everything we've been talking about until now, the fact that Hashem conceals Himself from us to make the world look like an independent world. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed and hides the true life source of the world. Why does He do this? So that the world will appear as being independent. Now, in the past weeks, we've talked about that this is the source of free choice. If we saw the Ribbono Shel Olam in everything explicitly as it is, so it would be impossible to choose against the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we would see that he's being Mechaya everything at that moment, and there wouldn't be a free choice. But now he's taking it a step deeper, that the reason that the Ribbono Shel Olam made the world appear as an independent entity, Hine Hu Yadua L'Kol, because everybody knows, Kitachlis Brias Ha'olam, that the goal, the purpose of creation, Hu B'Shvil Hizgalus Malchuso Yizbarach, the purpose of the world, this is a very much of a Rosh Hashanah shmuz, the purpose of creation is Gilui Malchus Shemaim, is to reveal Hashem is Malchus. Well, you can only reveal something if it's concealed. If it's not concealed, there's no way to reveal it, right? So the goal of the world, and this has to go hand in hand with what we discussed last week, that the goal of the world was Olam Chesed Yibane, that Hashem did it for the purpose of building a world of Chesed. Now, these two ideas obviously can't be contradictory. Okay, so you put that in the back of your mind. So the goal is, the Tachlis Brias Olam is his Galus Malchus, is to reveal Hashem's Malchus. Now, in order to do that, De'ein Melech B'loi Am, you can't have Malchus without a nation. Rabbi Wein puts this concept in humorous terms, and he tells the famous story of, I happen to know who the story happened with, but there were two brothers who were sons of a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael who passed away. So one morning, a brother comes into the Bishr Medrash and says, I can't believe what happened, but the father came to me in a dream last night and informed me that I should become Rebbe. To which he responded, if Father wanted you to be Rebbe, he should have come to me in the dream. And the fact that he came to you in the dream was a very poor choice. So, choosing a leader, choosing, having a malchus, is only possible if there's somebody there to choose you as a melech. You know, being a Rebbe by your own choice, without a following, doesn't make you much of a Rebbe. And clearly, by a Malchus, Ein Melech B'Loyam. Now, he's going to go on to define How do we we generally define as a nation, right? Says about Tanya, Meloshin Oimimus. Shares a root with the word, he does a Hirschian word comparison here. You can't have a kingdom without comes from the language of Gecholim Oimimis. What are Gecholim Oimimis? They mean coals that have cooled down. Coals that are burning are lechashes, they're whispering coals. They speak to one another. When the coal dies down, it then becomes distant from the fire. Shem dvarim nifrodim vizorim v'rechoikim im malas hamelach. What is required in the creation of an that's going to accept a king, what's required is to have distance. There has to be something which is separated. It is foreign. It's at a distance from the king. Even if the king would have as many children as Haman had, multitudes of children, you can't build a kingdom out of your kids. Why not? Because children are an extension of the father. There has to be distance. He says an amazing thing here. He says you can't even have a kingdom made up of dignitaries, of ministers. They're too close. It requires distance. And this makes me feel very good. Right? Because Hashem always needs some people who are going to be very distant from him. So I am fulfilling some purpose. Rak b'roiv davka. It is dafke b'roiv A king becomes a king when there are multitudes of means distant people. Then, hadras melech, right? This is a halachic concept. We know that there are many mitzvahs that need to be performed dafke with multitudes of people, like Mikra Megillah, like Hallel, and other mitzvahs that are supposed to be done. You're supposed to go to the largest gathering possible. So he's defining here, Beroiv Am, the more of those Amemi people there are, Hadras Melech is the splendor of the king.
If the Rov Am defines the Hadras Melech, then does this imply that Hashem Kaviyachol needs us?
You're getting into that whole thing. He's going to talk about it. But you're going to get into that difficulty where he's going to address it. About the whole need issue, creation being the response to a need, and so on. But he's saying, Tachlis Briyas Ha'olam, right, on the simplest level, is Hashem desired us to reveal His malchus in this world. Did He create that desire? Is that desire a need? And what the distinction is between those two terms, that He created desire, or that desire is an inherent need, is very confusing to me, and I assume it is to most people. Now, step A. So step number one is there has to be distance, okay? And therefore Hashem had to create a world in which His presence was not explicitly totally open. Okay, that's step A. Step B. V'shem ha-meira al-midas malchusay. The name of Hashem that points to this concept of Malchus is not Elohim that we've been talking about in the past six brook. Okay? It is Hushem Adnus. It is the name of Hashem of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The name of Hashem's mastery. Ki hu adoin kol ha'aretz, He is the master of the world. V'nimtza ki midezu v'shem zu, that this attribute of Malchus and this name of Adnos, Heim HaMahavin, they bring into existence Umikaimin and sustain Ha'ilam. The name of Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, this concept, and the concept of Malchus is the name of Hashem that brings the world into existence and sustains the world. To create the world as it is now, yesh gomor, a total yeshus, a real existence, v'davanifred b'fnei atzmai, and a separate entity unto itself. V'einai batal b'metzias mamish, to the point where it does not cease to exist, because we've been discussing it over the past weeks, that from Hashem's vantage point, the world really has no existence unto itself. It is but merely a projection of Hashem. It's not batal b'metzias mamish. Why? Ki b'histalkus midazu v'shem zechas v'shalom. If, God forbid, the Ribbono Shel Olam were to remove this attribute of Malchus or this name of Adnos, ha'yo'ilam chayzolim kairoi, the world would go back. We're up to the top now of the next page. Pebez, the world would go back to its source. Bidvar Hashem v'ruach pivis baruch, to the word of Hashem and the spirit of His mouth, ubatal sham b'metzias mamish, and it would cease to exist completely and totally. So now, what He's creating is a combination of the ruach piv and the dvar Hashem, the utterances of creation, and the concept of malchus, which is the backdrop, the reason of why He did this, why He's doing this. Without this concept of Malchus, world cannot exist. Now, concept number three. V'neged rubchinas Shem Olam, the limitations and the concept of Olam, of world, in Lashon Kodesh, Neifel, there are two qualities that are required in Olam. Pchinas Makom, the first thing is the concept called space, the creation called space, and the second thing is Pchinas Zman. Second concept is time. Those two components are required to create Olam. You need time, and this is scientifically very sound from what the people who understand science have told me. Pchinas, those two concepts are required for Olam. Pchinas Makom, the concept of space, Humizach Mayrev Tzof and Dorem Maylamata, our east, west, north and south, up and down. Pchinizman, the concept of time, is of our hoive vasid, our past, present, and future. Those, so when we talk about Olam, which is created through Adnos and Malchus, what we're referring to is those two concepts called space and time, and their interaction with one another. We must understand, there we go, Kol b'chinas elu. We need to understand that all of these concepts that we've mentioned here, the Adnos, the Malchus, time and space, Ein lohem shaychus b'midas ha'gdoshes v'algernes, they have no relationship with chesed gvura tiferes netzach ha'disoid, with the higher midas at all. Kim b'midas malchuso yisbarach levado, because it is only this lowest midah called malchus, shaych lo'imashu yisbarach, melech lemaila den keitz, only there can we speak about Hashem being king above, into infinity. Ulamata adein tachlis, and below to the depths. V'chein l'dalid sitin, in on all four directions. V'chein m'pchin azman, so too we have the concept of malchus, not only as it pertains to space, but as it pertains to time. We have it in the pasuk we say every day. Hashem melech, Hashem molech, Hashem yimloich. We have Hashem reigns, Hashem reigned, Hashem will reign. What we learn from all this is that the sustenance, the creation of space and time, and visavusam, they're bringing them into existence, miayin liyesh, from nothingness to something, vikiyumam, and their continuation, kol zman kiyumam, as long as they continue to exist, humimidas malchus yisbarach, that is aligned with the concept of Malchus. V'shem Adnos Baruch Hu. In this name of Aleph Daled Nun Yud. Now. Okay, so that is logical. Right? Adnos, mastery, there has to be a nation over whom he reigns. There has to be a world. And therefore, the concept of Malchus brings time and space into existence. Here we go. The fish midas malchus yisbarach miyuchedes b'mohus aviatzmus yisbarach b'tachlis hayichud. Unlike humans, where we can separate the midas from the person, the king could be a king. The king could be a person without his kingdom. There's nobody who in humans who is essentially a king. He has to be a king, right? The kingdom could disappear and the human can continue to exist, right? The Shah, Lahavdil, was the king in exile. K'mayishi Yizbar, as we explained. But when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, those two concepts, the Malchus of Hashem, is completely and totally one with his essence. Hilkach gam b'chinas hamokim v'azman, from Hashem's vantage point, both space and time, b'telim b'metzius mamish, they are completely and totally nullified. L'gabay mehusay v'atzmusay yizbarach vis-a-vis Hashem's essence, kibitil ar Hashemesh b'shemesh, like we've been discussing all these weeks, the nullification of the light of the sun, the rays of the sun, as they are still in the sun, meaning that from the vantage point of the sun, the rays have no purpose.
It's true of any aspect of Hashem, right?
Yeah. Well, but it's going to be relevant because for us, the world plays a pretty big role. So when we're talking about the unity of the world with Hashem, it's going to make a big difference. But here, you ever see Sidurim that have the Yud, and the Hey, and the Vav, and the Hey, and then in between the letters of Hashem's name, there's all of, there's also the Aleph, and the Dalet, and the Nun, and the Yud. That's what we're going to talk about now. It's called the Shiluv, the intermingling, of the Shem Adne with the Shem Havaya. Okay? This is the meaning when we talk about the mingling of the letters of Hashem's Adnos with the name of Avaya. Because as we've been discussing, we've been discussing that the name of Yud and then Hey and then Vav Hey speak about the fact that Hashem exists outside of time. Because He is Haya, Hayve, Viyye. That's the letters of that name of Hashem, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Right? So when we talk about Hashem being Haya, Hayve, Viyye, that He is, was, and is, and will be all at once, the only way to do that is not to exist within the confines of time. So that's what that name means. That name not only means that Hashem brings everything into existence every moment, but it also means that He is and exists outside of any limitation of time. It also simultaneously means that Hashem exists outside of space. Well, why does it mean that? Because it also means that He is the Mahave, He is He who brings all things into existence. And one who brings space into existence clearly exists higher than and over than and above space. Okay? Adlamata, to say He is creating all space from above until below and to all four sides. Okay. Vine. Afal pishu yizbarach l'mayla me'amokim izman. So, we have this image now that we all create because we all have to think in space, is that you have the Ribbono Shel Olam who is somehow outside of this, and He is creating, you know, He's creating the world, right? He's here and He's creating space. He's creating the world as we speak, right? That's the image we have, is that since this is the globe, the world with the galaxies and everything, so He's out here creating this. But then this isn't Him. Right? So that doesn't work. That's what he's saying here. Even though the Ribbono Shel Olam clearly is above space and time, but the difference is that He is still found in space and in time, which is that which makes it so impossible to wrap our heads around. Da'ainu, that is, shemisyached b'midas malchusai, that He is totally and completely unified with malchus. Now, what's the definition of malchus? Hashem as He appears in space and in time. Well, if He is completely and totally unified with His malchus, then He is one with everything which is within space and time. Because one plus one equals one. Because it is from that which stems space and time. This is the meaning of Yichud Tata. This is what it means when the Zohar talks about the lower unity. This is what it means. Meaning, Shiluv, the combination of Havaya, of Hashem's active creative force, be'ados in His Malchus Baruch Hu. Da'ainu, that is to say, page 164. That Hashem's essence, whatever that means, which we refer to as the Ein Sof, as the infinite. And that's why it's impossible for us to wrap our heads around it, because it's infinite and we are finite. Nonetheless, humole es kol ha'aretz mamish bizman u'makom. Due to the fact that He is infinite, so this is backwards infinity. What does that mean? Infinite, normally, we suggest, means completely expansive. Says the Baal Tanya that it's the backwards of infinity, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so infinite that he's even able to exist in the confines of time and space. Where normal infinity doesn't have the ability to limit itself to, in any which way, to space and time, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Kol Yochel. He can do whatever He wants. And therefore, he is one with his Malchus, which by extension means that he's one with time and space. Not limited to time and space. That's the mistake. That would be the next mistake somebody would make, would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom is only limited to time and space. That's Kfira. But he is also, right, if somebody says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Kula Ruchni, he's only spiritual, he's only in infinite, and he's not able to appear in our world because it's finite and he's infinite. So clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu checked out, left us his world. Because he can't be bound by the time and space. That's just as much apikorsis as is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not infinite.
He just nailed all the avoided Zoros in one shot.
Mamish. Unbelievable. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Now, because these ideas, he says it, he's going to say in a minute that this, we cannot wrap our human minds around it because we're, our minds are limited by time and space. Until you meet certain people who are, you know, don't live in time. That, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us certain people in our lives who teach us what it means to live above time. Imagine Shlomo HaMelech, who was married to all those women. He never got anywhere on time. Right? Now, fourth line. This is why it's so impossible, because we keep on speaking about Hashem being infinite, and then we look at our finite world and we say, well, it's clear that he can't be in this finite world because he's infinite. He says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is equally here in the finite world as he is in the world of the infinite. There are no limitations. Kikachu ba'aretz mitachas, he is as much here in the world below, kiboy b'shamayim mimal, as much as he is in the heavens above, mamish. Ki hakoyel hu b'chinas makoyim. Because everything we refer to above and below, heavens and celestial worlds, all of it is space, in some level. Habatel b'metzias bar insof baruch hu, which is nullified completely and totally to the infinite. Hamislabish boy al yidei midas malchusay, and he's able to robe himself through this midas of Malchus, HaMiyuchedes Ba'yisbach, which is completely unified with Hashem. Rak. But we understand, Shemidas Malchus, Humidas HaTzimtzum Va'hester, that what Malchus does to the presence of the Ein Seif, to the presence of the infinite as it appears in this world, is in the form of Tzimtzum V'Hester, of concealment. La'aster Ein Seif Baruch Hu, but in order for there to be true Malchus, he has to conceal his infinite energy, Shele Yivatlu Azman V'Amakim Mitzius L'Gami, so that time and space will not completely nullify if he exposes, completely exposes his presence, but the Yashum B'Chin Azman V'Amakim Mitzius L'Tachtonim, because if he were to completely open it up and not conceal it, and there would be no concealment vis-a-vis from our vantage point, then there is no time and space. Then it's all Getlachkeit, it's all godliness. By the way, just as an aside, Shabbos and Yontif, there's something called Aliyas Olamos, the elevation of the worlds. And what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts some of the veils, so that there's less concealment going on. When there's less concealment going on, you have an elevated time in that the Ein Sofis, Hashem's infinity, is less obscured. And by definition, you have a Neshama Yisera, right? You have all the different side effects that come along with a world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is less concealed. You have the same thing in space. You have a Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have a Beis HaMikdash. You have places where there are daily miracles. Why are there daily miracles there? Because there's less symptom, there's less concealment. Right? You have certain neshamas, you have certain people, greater neshamas, where there is less concealment, and therefore there is a greater exposure of godliness there. Now, the Masha Kesavti, with what we've written here, Yuvan, it's fully understood. Masha Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Leishanisi, I Hashem have not changed. Pirish. Shein Shum Shinui Klal, There is no change whatsoever. Just like Hashem existed alone before the creation, so too is he alone after creation. Then we say this in the morning by Shachris, Hashem, you existed before the world was created, and you are the one who is since creation. Without any change in Hashem's essence, nor in his knowledge. Okay, now he takes another step. That should be a base. With the knowledge of himself, he knows all of his creations. Because everything is an extension of him. And it is completely, as we've said up until now, it's a mere projection of him. These are the famous words of the Rambam. Shehu ha-yodea, Hashem at one time is the knower. Vehu ha-yodua, and he is the known. Vehu ha-yodea, and he is the knowledge. This is where Torah becomes inseparable from Hashem. So he, his knowledge, his essence are all one. Hakalecha, that's the language of the Rambam. And then the Rambam says, Vidova ze in koyach bepela amrei. In these words, the mouth does not have the capacity to say it. V'lei ba'iz in the shamay, nor for the ear to hear it. V'lei b'lev adam lakira, not in the heart of a human to really get it. Alburiyam in clarity. Because, and he says, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu mehusa ve'atzmusa v'dalti HaKol Echad. By Hashem, his essence, his knowledge, it's all one entity. Mikol tzadupina, from every way you're going to look at it. B'chol derech yichud, in every way of oneness. Vein da'at edav noisef al mehusa ve'atzmusa. His knowledge is not something added on to his essence. K'meshu b'nefesh ha'adam, like it is by us, by humans. Shedaita, when we learn a new thing, we become a smarter person. We now have, in addition to being as smart as we were until now, we now have a new piece of knowledge. We gained another piece of knowledge, so it adds to the load. Shedaita, our knowledge is davar noisef al mehusa. It's something in addition to our essence, umurkavba, and it's very well intertwined with us, right? It could become part of who we are. Because when we study and we know something, we had the intellectual soul, we had that before we learned this particular piece of information. But after we learned it, we now know it. We now have added a new feather in our cap. We now have a new piece of knowledge. So too, hopefully every single day, our days add up. And our, hopefully the more we live, the more smart we get. But that adds on to who we are. Up until now, I only knew algebra. And now I know trigonometry. So, right, it all added on to us. But it all adds on to who we become, so we become a more complex being. But Hashem is a simple unity, b'loy shum harkova, without any components, mitzad ribui klal, or any additional chalokim. V'im kein, therefore by force, since he is a simple one, akorach muhusa v'atzmusa v'dayte hakol davrachat mamish, it must be that his essence and his das is all one thing, b'li shum harkava, without any components. And for this reason, just like it is impossible for any human being to grasp the essence of Hashem, so too is it impossible for any human to grasp fully the das of Hashem. What are we left with? Rak laha min b'muna. All we can do is to have conviction in faith. She lemayla me'asechul me'asaga. That is above that which our human mind can grasp. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yochad miyuchad. We can accept the fact that unlike us, where our knowledge of anything and in all things is an additional component, by Hashem it is all one. Ubiyadiyas atzmayin, through the fact that he knows himself, he knows and recognizes everything which exists, above and below. Notice what he's setting out to do here. Ad shil shel katan shebiyam, by definition, he must know and operate and control every tiny creature in the sea. Vad yitush katan, until the smallest gnat, she yia b'tiborot, that will come forth from the belly of the earth. Ein davanela mimenu, nothing is concealed to him, from him. Ve'ein yidiyazu meisifa b'ribui v'harkava klal. But unlike us, where for us to pay attention to more than one thing at a time, although we should be able to pay attention to one thing at a time, but clearly for us to be able to pay attention to any one thing at a time adds to our being. There's no challenge. Because by Hashem, his knowledge of himself, his essence, and his das are all one, as the Rambam said. And he says it again, due to the fact that it is virtually impossible for us to grasp this with our human minds. Okay, no man anovi, about this the prophet says, kigavu shamayim eoretz, just as heaven is beyond earth, kach gavu darchayim darkechem, so too are my ways higher than your ways. When my thinking from your thinking, uksiv. Similarly, it says, "Hachekel the katim." So you could really understand God. Uksiv, and it says, "Ha'eni basalach im kares enish tira." Are you going to ever see it like God sees it? Shadam roya v'yedeya kol advarim biyedua biyedia shechutz mimenu. Because when people see and know something, it's still not part of their essence. It is external to us. But Vakadosh Baruch Hu b'yedias atzmei. By the Rebbeinu Shleim, it's not an external knowledge. It is just the knowledge of himself. Ad kan l'shoinai. This is what the Rambam says. Ayin sham. Look there. Be'ilchas Yisrael Yatara. In the laws of Yisrael. Ve'eskimu imoi chach me'akabola. And the wise men of the Kabbalah in this area agree with the Rambam, that the Ramak agrees with the Rambam in this analysis, that whereas by humans external knowledge adds to them, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu it is all innate oneness that stems from his own self-knowledge. And then he goes on to address, and we'll do this after Pesach, the mistake of the Chachamim who say that Tzimtzum is to be translated literally. So there's a lot of material covered here, but it gives us a little glimpse into what we are doing here. And our job is Gilui Malchus, that from human vantage point there is a concealment, and the tachlis of the Bria is to reveal Hashem's Malchus in this very limited vision world. Alright, so we'll take it up from here at Mitzvah on the Wednesday after Yom Tov Chol Hamoed. After the Chol Hamoed. Hopefully I should be back.